Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that all that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Bless the word as it goes forth. Let it find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that the seed of your word might produce great fruit in us and through us. Somebody who needs you, God, may they hear from you in such a powerful way that they would make a decision to know you. Somebody who knows you, may they make a decision today to grow in you, so that we all can fulfill our potential in you and become all you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever bought something new and experienced the excitement of this new item? Maybe it was a new phone, maybe it was a new house, maybe a new wardrobe, or maybe a new car. Newness is something that people get excited about. Newness is so powerful that there are now air fresheners that are made to smell like new car, right? And you get that new car smell. And most people don't buy it for their old raggedy car, but man, that new car smell is something special. When you get something new, typically you make a commitment with that item that you have received that is new. For example, if you have a new wardrobe or a new piece of clothing, you're determined you're not going to treat it like those old outfits. You're going to hang it up on that special hanger, and you're going to make sure that it's hanging properly and you don't wear it a whole lot. But the truth of the matter is, it's not too long until you start treating those new clothes like your old clothes. I remember when my mother and father bought a new car, 1969 Buick Wildcat. We had an old Pontiac with a soft top before that, and we can do everything in that Pontiac. We would eat in there, sleep in there, drink in there, do whatever you wanted to do in that old car. When we got the new car, man, my mama was so strict. You can't eat in it. You can't drink anything in it. If you're going to eat, you better get out of the car and eat, brush yourself off before you get in. We could barely ride in that new car. But y'all, it wasn't long before that new car was treated like the old car. Because here's the truth of the matter. Whatever we get when it's new, we treat it with a certain level of dignity and respect. But when it becomes old, when it becomes common, we just treat it like we treat everything else. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says something that I think all of us need to take account of today. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And my brothers and sisters, here's the truth of the matter. When we got saved, when you first gave your life to Christ, man, there was such an excitement about your newness in Christ. It changed everything. You were in church all the time. You was reading your Bible. Now you hardly know where your Bible is between Sundays, right? And somewhere along the line, we have lost the excitement around what it means to be new in Christ. When Paul shares this with us, he's not just sharing a destination, he's sharing a process. That we should be continually in the place of growing and the mindset of becoming all that God wants us to be. And so today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live your new life in G. How to live your new life in G. You see, when you became a new creation in Jesus, Jesus gave you the opportunity and has the expectation that you would walk with a new attitude and with new actions, that you would live your life with new convictions and new conduct, that you would have not just new beliefs, but you would also have new behaviors, that you would have a new position in Christ, but that new position should be evidenced by new practices in how you live out your faith. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Those of you who are watching, you can download an outline on our website at goodhope.org, or there is a fill-in-the-blank outline on your app or tablet, wherever you have the app, and you can do that while we move along. Three things I want you to see today around this idea of living your new life in G. Now remember, life is living your faith every day. And when I talk about living your new life in G, I'm talking about living your new life in God, in God's will, in God's grace, and to God's glory. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to realize you can become a new person in Jesus Christ no matter who or what you've been in your past. You can become a new person in Jesus no matter who or what you've been in your past. Therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, this is one of the great passages of Scripture describing the reality of our new possibility and potential when we come into this world. He says every one of us has the possibility, has the potential, no matter how bad our past may be, we can become a new creation in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That word creation is an interesting word because it refers to the creative power and act of God to make something what it was not previously. It's interesting because when God looks at us, he looks at us for what we are, but his creative power is so great that he doesn't have to leave us the way we are. A lot of times when we look at other people, we look at them and we see them the way they are, and we think that's the way they're always going to be. But when Jesus looks at us, he not only sees who we are in our present, he sees who and what we can become in our future. The text says he has created us as a new creation. Look at A. You need to realize being a new creation gives you a new position in heaven. Positionally, when you are saved, your seat is already secure in glory. There's nothing you can do to give up your seat. There's nothing you can do to throw away your seat. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your seat in glory is secure. It's like reserving a room with a credit card. Once you receive that confirmation, your room is guaranteed. Just this past week when we were in Nevada, I got to the hotel early and the person behind the desk said, "Sir, your room is not ready yet, but we guarantee it's going to be ready by 3 o'clock. It may get ready sooner, and if it does, we'll call you. But we will guarantee that it's going to be ready at 3 o'clock. That's a guarantee that I receive that what I reserve, I could eventually check into. Here's what I need you to understand. When you are made a new creation in Christ, heaven has already been secured with a spot for you. Look at Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. While your citizenship in heaven is secure, God still has some responsibilities for how you are to live on earth. Look at B. You need to realize being a new creation means God expects you to live for Christ while you're on earth. So basically, here's what he says. While you're space is secure in heaven, you can't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. God says, I have saved you to help somebody else come to know him and grow in him just like you. So Paul says, old things have passed away. Now, if old things have passed away, we have no reason, we have no excuse to invite old things back into our lives. We have no reason to go to old places, to do old things, and to pick up relationships with old people. I'm trying to help somebody in here. You know what I've learned? When God gives you an exit, don't turn around and make it an entrance. I was talking to somebody just the other day about one of their workers, and one of their workers is functionally incompetent. They just can't do the work that needs to be done, and it's holding back the entire organization, and the person quit. And then the boss talked them out of quitting. And I said, why would you talk somebody out of the blessing that God gave to you? Some of y'all will get it on the way home. Basically, here's what Paul says. You can start life all over and do better no matter how bad you have been in the past or how far you have fallen from the grace of God. God wants you to make a new commitment, and he wants to make a new creation out of you. And there should be some evidence of your growth. There should be some. Let me give you an example. I can remember when the kids were small and, you know, people hadn't seen them in 3, 4 years, 5 years. They'd be like, oh, my God, look at how you've grown. I do it with some of your children. Some of your children, man, I mean, I remember when they walked out of the sanctuary in preschool and elementary school, and they come back and I'm like, hey, how you doing, Pastor? You remember me? No, I don't. Who is this grown man that's standing in front of me, right? People who have not seen you in a while, there should be such evidence of your growth. There should be such evidence that God has been working on you and there's been a change in your life. Look at Romans 8. Let's just read verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You should be walking according to the Spirit of God. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. My brothers and sisters, the greatest control you can exhibit is not control over somebody else. It's learning how to control yourself. It's learning how to say no in the spirit when you want to say yes in your flesh. Learning how to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul says, old things have passed away. If you know Jesus as your Savior today, and some old things have come back, don't invite back in what the Lord has allowed to get out. If you've never accepted Christ, God says a new life is waiting for you, but you have to make that decision to walk in that new life. Look at Galatians 6:15, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. And it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you need to realize your opportunity to become a new creation in Jesus Christ is made possible by God alone. It's made possible by God alone. Look at what the text says, verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Now, I believe some of you are not walking in the new life that God has provided for you because somehow you may think you have lost that ability because you thought you were responsible for getting that ability. The text says that all of this, what is this? Anyone in Christ, a new creation, old has passed away, the new has come. All this is from God. It's from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That word reconciled is an interesting word. It has to do with reconnecting with or restoring a relationship with someone, or ending enmity between one and another. Now, what's interesting is God is the one that initiates the reconciliation. In the Garden of Eden, we initiated the gulf that was created when Adam and Eve sinned. God sends his son, Jesus, to offer us an opportunity to get it right with God. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that I've learned? If you're going to be wrong with anybody, the last person you want to be wrong with is God. He reconciles, he restores, he changes thoroughly. He helps us to exchange enmity for friendship, to bring us back into the family of God. And the initiative was taken by God. You know, we used to sing a song, "Until I Found the Lord." You know, and I've been searching and I've been searching, looking for God. And I need to tell you, God's never been lost. If you have felt like God is far away from you, guess who moved? God is always searching. God is always desiring to reconcile you back to him. The path back to God was provided by God, and God wants us to enthusiastically embrace that new path that has been created. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Ephesians 2:16, "Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death." Hebrews 2:17, let's read it together. "Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people." Here's the third and final thing if you're going to live your new life in G. Number three, you need to realize becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ means you are to live for him and help others do the same. You are to live for him and help others do the same. Watch what he says. Verse 18, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself," here it is, "and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, "That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. My brothers and my sisters, each one of you who knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a call on your life to participate in the ministry of reconciliation. Now, here's the mistake that I believe many Christians make. They hear the word ministry of reconciliation and they think it's a call to preach and stand here, when it's really a call to be salt and light out there. There's a gallop to the pulpit, and people want to sit up in chairs on a platform and cross their legs and look important and sound important. Instead, God wants you to understand that he has saved you and made you a minister of reconciliation, not so you can be important in here, but you can be life-changing out there. That word ministry comes from the same place that we get the word deacon. It means to be a servant. It means to see a person's need and meet them at that point of need, to share with them the love of God, the love that God has. This, this unconquerable love, this unconditional love that God has. That's what God has given us the job to do, to be a minister of reconciliation. The very special ability that God has given you to serve, to encourage, to assist, to help others is truly what God wants you to do. That's why it's important for you to understand when we talk about ministry, you don't have to be a pulpit or a preacher to be a minister. Because you are saved, God has given you the ministry of reconciliation to help others know and grow in Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, all of us can be used. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen if you made a decision to say, I'm going to let God use me to reach at least one person before the end of the year? And if you don't have the courage and you don't believe you have the training to at least start praying that God would give you the opportunity to be used in that way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The B part of verse 19 says, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. You are a new creation. He has given you the ministry of reconciliation. And the Bible says he has entrusted to you the message of reconciliation. That word message is the Greek word logos. It's the same word that was used to describe not just the word of God, but God himself in the flesh. John chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Well, in John chapter 1, he says the word was God, the word was with God, and he's talking about Jesus. Every time the word is mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 1, he is talking about Jesus. So he says he has given you the message, the word of reconciliation. Somebody said, well, why is that important? Because we are his ambassadors. It's important because the message of reconciliation, listen carefully, must be seen in how you live so it can be heard by what you say. God reconciled us. That's why this appeal that we make. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, right? Because we know ambassadors don't represent themselves. They represent the one who sent them. We are ambassadors, and we are to make God's appeal through us. The text says, we implore you on behalf of Christ. Underline that word, implore. That word implore in the King James is translated pray, but it literally means to beg, to petition, to beseech, to urge somebody. You and me, we are to beg others on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. That's why the invitation period is so important. That's why I encourage you to pray. That's why sometimes I won't let it go, because the Lord won't let me let it go. Because I have no shame in imploring somebody or begging somebody to give their life to Jesus Christ. See, the only way the world can ever hear about the great ministry of reconciliation is through us. The ministers of reconciliation who have the message of reconciliation to give to the world. People need to be reconciled with God, but they won't get there unless we do our part. Look at John 15, 16. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. There should be fruit that is coming forth out of our lives. We need to be fruit producers, both in living the fruit of the Spirit and then helping other people come to know Jesus, which makes us fruit. The last thing we want to be is a fruitless Christian. an unproductive Christian who can't reproduce themselves in somebody else. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. When you are in Christ, the text says you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. But living your new life in Jesus means more than celebrating what God has done. It means walking it out every day. If anyone in here is in Christ, you are a new creation. And if you are not in Christ, you have an opportunity to come into Christ, because you becoming a new creation has nothing to do and is not dependent upon what you have done in your past or even what you are doing in your present, because God is the initiator and has the power to make you new. So I want to encourage somebody, don't go back to your old ways when God has given you a new life. Don't live in yesterday's shadows when God has called you into today's light. Don't settle for being patched up when God wants to make you brand new. Don't live your new life in the past. Live your new life in the present and for your future, for your good, for your growth, and ultimately to his glory. See, when you're not in Christ, you may do whatever you have done. But when you're new in Christ, you're not what you used to be. You're not where you used to go. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't walk like you used to walk. The old has passed away and the new has come to stay. So you should have a new mindset. You should be on a new mission. You should have a new identity and you should be heading for a new destiny. So live your new life in Jesus, grounded in his love. Godliness as your behavior, growing in his grace, giving as a sign of his love, using your gifts to bless others, going forward in his name and glorifying him to the utmost. So you can live by his goodness, love by his grace, and live for his glory. And that's the challenge before us, to live in such a way that somebody will be blessed when they see your new life. Because for some of you, your testimony of a new life is so great, there's some folk who knew you in your BC days that couldn't believe what God has done in your life. One preacher friend I know said he got saved, gave his life to the Lord, and started preaching and put all of that old stuff down and walked away from it. And somebody heard he was preaching, and they said, Jimmy is preaching? They said, no, you lying. I know Jimmy ain't preaching. Jimmy is preaching. Are you telling me the truth? Jimmy, they used to have a house over there. Jimmy, the one that could hook you up with anything you needed, illegal. Jimmy is preaching? Well, if God could save Jimmy, and there's somebody who knows you when, and if they want to remind you of when and talk to you about then, it gives you a testimony to talk to them about now. Let me help somebody, because I'm feeling led in the spirit to say this. Even as a new creation in Christ, you'll mess up. Some of you under the sound of my voice, you've made mistakes. Some of you in your life, if you could go back, you would change some things. But here's what I know. You can't change what you've done in the past. The past is undefeated. But what you can change is your present and your future. So even if somebody came to you and said, yeah, but you was a Christian, and you said, you're absolutely right. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. And thank God I'm growing, that I'm not what I used to be. Some of my used to be was before Christ. But I thank God for some of my used to be's that happened after Christ, that I'm not what I used to be. But I'm becoming what God wants me to be. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you and bless you for your word today. I pray now, God, that everything that is done and said will be pleasing in your sight, will bring glory and honor to you. Pray that your seed has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. We would be doers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This old song we used to sing. Word said, all ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the refrain says, we'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Come on, everybody who can, everyone who will, stand on your feet. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes today. You can use the QR code on the screen, as those of you who are watching can, and indicate your spiritual need and desire. Maybe you're here today and you've made a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, but you haven't been really walking that new life like you need to. Maybe you need to recommit your life to the Lord. To say, Lord, I hear you. You saved me. I'm straight in heaven, but I haven't always been walking straight on earth. And I want to recommit my life today. We welcome you to come. If you need Jesus, you want to recommit your life, or you're looking for a church home, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We're just a people in progress, an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And we welcome you to join us. If you're upstairs in the balcony, come on down and come. We won't look at you funny, we'll rejoice. If you're downstairs, to my left or my right, come on and come. Wherever you are, I want you to know God loves you so much. He loves you where you are, but he won't leave you where you are. He'll make something beautiful out of your life if you let him.
Walk in the light.
Beautiful light,
come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Of mercy shine bright.
Come on with this one. Come on.
Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the
mercy shine bright.
Let me try this verse.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name. Jesus, the light of the world. We will walk in the light.
Beautiful light.
Come where?
Come where the dewdrops
of mercy shine bright.
Shine
on.
Here's what I want to do real quick. I want you to look around to your left, to your right, real quick. You don't have to say anything. Just look around to your left, to your right. I want you to grab hands with a person. Do it in pairs. And I want each of you to pray for each other however God leads you. Even if it's just, Lord, bless them. Lord, help them. Lord, direct them. Walk in who God wants you to be. Join hands with somebody up in the balcony. Just join hands and just look over at them and just whisper a prayer for them.
Come where dewdrops, mercy shine bright. Shine all around us. By day and by night, Jesus, light of the world, hear the Savior's earnest call, Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all. Jesus, the light of the world. We will walk in the light.
All right, make sure you pray for each other. When you finish praying, I want to hear you singing.
Of mercy, shine bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world.
Come on, if you can sing it, come on, let's sing it together.
We will walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where?
Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright.
Shine all around us
by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Listen, we're going to sing it one more time just in case somebody has prayed for you now and you feel strengthened to move on that prayer and come down and say yes to the Lord. Whatever your reason, we won't look at you funny. We will rejoice when you come. So if you're here and you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, if you're here today, you want to unite with this church, if you're here today and you're in need of something spiritual in your life, the men and women who are up front have been trained and taught and would love to minister to you. Those of you who are watching today online, the gladiators are in the prayer room. The gladiators are in the prayer room. And so as people come here to pray, as people come here to say yes to the Lord, we invite you and give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord online. Amen. Amen. You hear us rejoicing. We're rejoicing because there are those who are coming, and we're rejoicing for you online. So go to the chat and indicate that you want to talk to somebody about a spiritual matter. Maybe you need special prayer. And there are people who are live right now who would love to pray with you via FaceTime. They would love to pray with you and pray for you. Amen. Come on, let's sing it again.
Well, we will walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where?
And the dewdrops of mercy shine bright.
Come on.
Shine on.
All around us.
By day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
We will walk
in the light.
You see.
Come on, stretch out your hands towards our young brother who has come. Father, we thank you and bless you for the one who has responded physically, and we thank you for those who will respond, whether it's through our guest relations or online. We pray, God, that for this season of his journey, we would be all that he needs to encourage him to continue to run on, to see what the end will be. May we help him become the man of God that you are calling him to be. That he would be a man of great character and great commitment. That he would be a man who will shift the landscape of families and others. That he will be used in ways beyond ways he can even think, ask, or request. God, use him. We commit him to you and cover him in believing prayer and ask you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's show him some love. Amen. For those of you who still want to respond, it's not too late. You can make that decision right now. It's not too late. You may be seated. It's not too late. Jesus, light up. Jesus,
what a powerful message this morning from the senior pastor. Oh, the Lord has spoke today. Oh, no. Thank God for that message today. Amen, amen. For that young brother that have come down, we're going to make sure we put our arms around him and help him down the road. Amen, amen.